Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Douglas with you. Thank you for tuning in. Hope your Thursday is going well. Jordana is off today. Her husband, Mark, is sick, very ill, to the point where they went into urgent care. And I'm not going to give anything away and not going to go into details other than to say that he is very much under the weather, and she is by his side helping him out any way she can. A lot of nasty stuff floating around out there. Dave Josephson, you have not gotten sick yet. You're still a beacon of health.
Well, I don't know about a beacon of health, but knock on wood, I have done okay so far this season. And I still need to get my flu shot, which my wife reminded me to do this weekend.
Do not put that off.
Yeah. So I'll be doing that shortly.
Get that done. I'm just coming out of a 10-day cold. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've discovered, DJ, is that nobody really wants to hear about your maladies. Nobody really cares. Maybe your mother cares that you had a severe head cold or the flu, but most people, they nod, they smile, and please get away from me, sir.
Well, that's a good fact. Let's lead with that right at 3. Too soon.
Man. Well, that's true. Okay. Well, I led with illness, but I thought – I needed to explain why Jordana is not here today.
Certainly.
If you've been listening to CCO, you've been getting the updates from CBS about the impeachment rules being pushed through the House. Very much partisan. The tally was 232 to 196. Every Republican voting against the resolution, and two Democratic defectors, including Representative Collin Peterson. One of the party's more conservative members. Both, of course, represent GOP-leaning districts, Collin Peterson and Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey. And the president won back in 2016 in Collin Peterson's district. I think it was by 30 points. So this vote lays out the rules. It's going to be open to the public. It's going to be on TV. Will you be watching? What do you think of all this? I am, as usual, a little bit conflicted. In a perfect world, I think voters should cast their vote next year on whether or not they want this president to remain in office. In a perfect world, I realize it's not perfect. And I realize that Democrats say, look, we're just following the Constitution. There may have been illegalities. We have to peel away at this infinite onion. My point is, I'm going to wait and withhold judgment until more facts are out. I still think we don't know what we don't know. Did the president do something very, very stupid? Yeah, looks like it. Was it illegal? Perhaps. But prove it. I respond to data and facts and evidence. And I'm glad that finally it's opening up. It's going to be public. And so hopefully all of us will get more information to make smart decisions. And then the other story that's trending, were you watching the Timberwolves game last night?
Embiid and Towns, they are throwing fists. Towns has Embiid in the headlock, and they go right back at each other. They are piled up underneath the basket. It is a hog pile over by the Philly bench. Tempers have flared here with 6:42 left to go in the third quarter. Now there's another melee going on. Bodies were tossed around. This was no joke. This was not your normal pushing and shoving. This was the real deal.
That was John Fokey, voice of the Wolves, right here on CCO. And it was chaos. I mean, I thought I was watching a hockey game at one point last night. And they got into it. Embiid and Karl-Anthony Towns wrestling. Rolling over on the floor. And then it got even snarkier and nastier on Twitter. I don't know if some of you followed some of the tweets. We can't repeat. I can't come close to repeating the things that were said on Twitter. But it got really, really nasty to the point where Embiid wrote, don't get it twisted, I own you. And it went back and forth. And, of course, the concern is that this triggers more toxicity online. Last thing we need on social media is more toxic comments, more verbal hand grenades. And is the league going to have to put down some rules if the NBA is serious about addressing mental health issues? So, again, it's America. You have the freedom within limits to say what you want to say. And this physical altercation then devolved into a war of words on Twitter. And it got really nasty. And especially Embiid said some things that way off the mark and very, very inappropriate. And if you were around on this date back in 1991, this is what it sounded like.
Karen Falloon is here with the latest on this Halloween storm of 1991. Karen.
Actually, Chappie, between 5 and 9 o'clock, we've had over 6 inches of snow. And as of just about 5 minutes ago, we have 19.7. And that gets just about as close as you can get without it actually being the record. But at the rate it's snowing, the record will be broken within the next half hour or so.
My buddy, Karen Falloon, meteorologist extraordinaire. She did an amazing job. Nice to hear Dick Chapman. And, yeah, that was the storm to end all storms. And chances are we won't experience anything quite like that again in our lifetime, at least not in late October, early November. That storm broke something like 8 to 10 records in Minnesota. We got 8 inches on Halloween, a total of 28.4 in the metro, 37 in Duluth without the drifts. There was a huge swath of 2 feet or more. Twin Cities on up to Duluth and the Arrowhead. And again, the perfect storm. Remember Sebastian Younger? I mean, he wrote the book, and then there was a movie, this mega storm that stalled off the coast of New England. That storm stalled, which backed everything up, and our storm stalled over Lake Superior for an extra day. It just sat there cranking, churning out more spigots of snow. And that was a crazy one. I will take that one to my grave. Hey, it's Halloween. I know it's chilly out there. A couple of extra layers when we come back. A detailed Halloween forecast and a few Halloween nuggets. Some trivia that made DJ Dave Josephson, our amazing producer, and me turn our heads in disbelief. That's coming up next.
Paul and Jordana.
That's so spooky. So spooky. Hey, Mike Max joins us 3:30 to 4:30. He's going to be in. Amanda, we have a lot to talk about. The wrestling match with Carl Anthony Towns last night, the Wolves game, the online vitriol that followed the wrestling match in Philadelphia, and then, of course, the NCAA, the Gophers and Penn State, the Vikes. Is Mahomes really going to play on Sunday? So a lot to talk about, including the business of sports. Anxious to get his input. Maxie comes in, and we're giving away Celine Dion tickets, right? At what time, 3:50?
4:50.
Because Maxie is in 3:30 to 4:30. We're going to give away a couple of Celine Dion tickets. You have to sing. It can be just 10 seconds, and it can be bad. But we want you to sing your favorite clip, your favorite Celine Dion tune. All right, Halloween, I didn't realize this, but most experts trace trick-or-treating back to a European custom of mumming or guising.
Mumming?
Mumming and guising. Participants, oh. Listen to this, participants would go door-to-door performing choreographed dances, songs, and plays in order to get treats, sweet treats. You had to actually do something. You didn't just show up and here's my bag, put something in my bag. You actually had to do something. You had to perform.
Well, we need to go back to that. I would love to watch people, you know, come to my house and perform or sing.
Make an effort.
Yeah.
Do something. Recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
That'd be great.
DJ, you talked about, and I didn't realize this was a thing, but Halloween etiquette.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I think some folks are, you know, trick-or-treat a certain way or host a certain way, and apparently there's some etiquette. So there's an article actually in CNN that lists some tips. So these are for trick-or-treaters that are out actually trick-or-treating. One of them is don't be greedy. A lot of times there's just like the bucket out there that you help yourself, or sometimes whoever's hosting will hand the bucket and say, take some. And it says, take one or maybe two pieces if they're small. Don't be the person that's taking an entire handful. Also, show off your costume. Look, you put a costume on. You and your family and your kids put costumes on. Show it off when you get there. Even if you're the, you know, 17th Harry Potter that you've seen, people want to see that. So, show off the costume you have.
Right.
And then finally, and this one I think rings very true, be respectful of the person's house. I don't know. I think there's a lot of trick-or-treaters that will run across the grass and then you kick over the flower pot or something like that. And look, if it's your neighbor that you know, they're okay with that. Sure. Go for it. But a lot of folks, and I can think around my block of the folks that would not be okay with running across their grass. And you got to respect that.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Treat them the way you'd want to be treated.
Yeah.
The other thing I would add to this, if you are deathly ill, if you're hacking, right, if you got a severe head cold, don't go trick-or-treating.
Well, I thought you said then you don't need a costume because you've got the, you know, a little blood already coming out of your nose.
Yeah, maybe.
Ready to go.
Yeah, the IV hanging down. But, I mean, it just makes sense, right? If you're infected, if you're sick and you're sticking your hand in the candy jar, you're going to make it bad for a lot of other people. So just
That's not
have
good.
A little respect for others, and maybe big brother, big sister can come back with some extra candy.
How about if you're sick, can you like walk with dad along the street while your siblings go up to get candy and then they just get an extra piece for you? But you stay out on the curb.
That's
that
a good
okay?
idea. Okay. Or stay in the vehicle. If you're really sick, I don't know. Should you even be outside?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
All right. Good advice. I didn't realize this either, but Halloween apparently has an Irish origin.
Oh, really?
A Celtic festival for the dead got this kicked off called Samhain. Celts believe the ghosts of the dead roamed Earth on this holiday, on Halloween. So people would dress in costumes and leave treats on their front doors to appease these roaming spirits. Irish Celts were also the ones, DJ, who invented the jack-o'-lantern. And it was Irish Americans who brought Halloween to the United States. Today, both Ireland and Scotland celebrate Halloween with bonfires, games, and traditional foods like barmbrack, an Irish fruitcake that contains coins, buttons, and rings for fortune-telling.
Really?
Here, have a big bite.
Wait, so there's a way to make fruitcake worse is what you're telling me?
Yeah, apparently so.
Non-edible objects inside the fruitcake.
Yeah, that's weird. I guess finding a ring in your... in your fruitcake means marriage. Coins mean wealth in the upcoming year. Man, that's going to a lot of extremes here. But, okay, now. So much for fruitcake. Blah. Still wouldn't eat it.
Okay, let me tell you from the other side what you should do for Halloween etiquette if you're hosting or if you're handing out candy, right?
Right.
First off is to be a good neighbor, which is a fancy way of saying give out candy. Like, you don't need to be the grump on the block. If you're at work, fine. But if you're home, you should give out candy. But it doesn't mean you need to give out the king-size candy or go all out.
Yeah, who does that? Does anybody give out the king-size candy?
Some people do, and some people make a big production of it. But if you're kind of humbug about it, look, just go to Target, buy a bag of candy, and participate. It can just be the, you know, Tootsie Rolls or something simple. But participate. Be a good neighbor. On the other hand, if you are getting way into Halloween, don't be the neighbor with, like, the coffin with somebody jumping out of it that's going to scare the three-year-old neighbor. Like, if you want to go to a fun haunted house and get super scared, great. Don't do that in your own yard. And then this one, we heard from Shaletta about this yesterday, but more and more people are offering allergy-free options or gluten-free options when they pass out candy. And there's, you know, different ways of asking for that, whether it's a separate bucket or whatever.
Slope.
But, you know, I think a lot of people are getting into that.
Would you like a vegan option?
Yeah, right.
Here, hi.
So, I don't know. Would you do that at your house? Would you offer a different option?
No,
or
that's way too
you just
much
get
work.
The Snickers?
I would just say this. It is what it is. If you'd like it, please take it. If you can't eat it, I'm sorry. Here, come.
That's
Rummage through our pantry. If
that's
you
why
something
you
like.
That's why you trade the next day. You lay out all your candy with your buddy on the garage floor the next day, and you trade everything. Finally, if you are not going to give out candy because you're at work or you're just a old humbug, turn off the lights, go downstairs, leave the house.
Right.
Make it clear what you're doing.
Yeah.
Either your lights
are on.
And it's open, but just make it clear for folks so no one's walking up to your door and getting disappointed. Oh, and finally, just a reminder, Halloween can be a tough night for folks that have pets. A lot of doorbells ring, a lot of candy and chocolate around, so just make sure your pets are taken care of tonight.
Absolutely. Good advice. Turn the lights off, maybe put crime tape around your house. I found that works. That tends to keep the neighbors away.
What will be given away at your house tonight, Paul?
I don't even know. I know Lori picked up some stuff. I'm not sure. I don't think she went in for the big boy candy bars. I think it's the little
guys,
things.
Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, tomorrow, Catholics around the world celebrate All Saints Day, followed by All Souls Day, an annual time to honor the lives of the saints who died for their Catholic beliefs, as well as souls of dead family members. In observance of the holiday, people go to Mass and visit the graves of their loved ones. Mike Max joins us. I didn't realize this. Walmart is pro-robot. Target is not. We find out if Mike Max is a robot coming next.
Paul and Jordana.
Paul Douglas back with you. Jordana is off today. No, it's not more electroshock therapy. She's actually taking care of handsome husband, who is very, very much under the weather. Mark, hope you feel better soon. She is being a good friend and helping her husband out today, who needs some help. So anyway, we wish them the best. If you're suffering through a cold or the flu or God knows what, our best to you and hope you feel better soon. Hmm. All right, I have the remedy, and the remedy is Michael Max.
Hey, I had this. Have you ever gone through this? I my ears plugged like when you're on a airplane.
Yeah.
Right? Now everybody's had that happen.
Some of the worst pain ever in my life.
So,
yeah.
So I had that feeling, and it just was killing me. So I got antibiotics, and it went away. Then 5 days later, it came back. So I got antibiotics, and it went away. This happened starting in August. 5 days later, it came back. And then I went to the Minute Clinic, and they said, no, you need to really hammer the Sudafed. So I used Sudafed, heavy doses, whatever it was that they said to use. And it went away, and then it came back.
Wow.
And so, and then I went chiropractic, and that helped a lot. And I finished it with a nasal spray. This has gone on since the state fair. And for the last week is the first time that I haven't had it at some point in time. When you either get it or you don't. Either you have that feeling.
Right.
Or they're plugged.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you're fine. There's no in between. But when you have it all day and you can't get rid of it, it just drains you. And I don't know if that's the what is it, eustachian tubes? Is that what it is there?
Eustachian tubes,
yeah,
yes, very good.
If that's moving just a little bit, I don't know. But to go through that, and everybody said, oh, yeah, everybody's, we've seen a lot of that this fall. I don't know if it's allergies or sinuses or is it muscle in the neck? Who knows, But cow, is that weird.
I had this conversation with Dave Lee yesterday, and we were comparing maladies, and he said when he feels the first twinge of sickness,
yep,
that he goes out and gets Nasacort and sprays the nasal stuff, and he said that is the only thing in his experience that knocks it down before it can blossom. Have you tried that?
That's,
and I don't mean
what's helped the last week and a half. The chiropractic really helped because I felt like there was some draining going on after they got done with me, right? And they're really good at it. And then I went with the Nasacort. And that was the, because I kept just asking whoever, somebody on the street, I'd ask them, hey, you ever had plugged ears? What'd you do for it?
Right,
and
right.
You're at that point where you'll take anybody, right? And the last time I was went to the pharmacy and asked, and they said that, and that seems to have worked. I don't know how it works, but it goes into your sinuses, right? And
right.
It's kind of,
right.
What's it? It's just like water that gets like a hose or something on it, just
knocks
whatever's out.
Sometimes airborne helps, I've found, but this last time, nothing helped. And so, it's been a 10-day cold. Not to complain, because nobody cares. I mentioned this at the top of the hour. Maybe your mother cares if you're ill, but nobody else cares. And when you're sick, first of all, it's God tapping you on the shoulder, that reminding you have no control. You have the illusion of control. Yes. You can tweak around the edges.
But guess what? Everybody gets sick and dies, right? At some point in time. Or they die. Whether they get sick or not before, is it?
No, I was going to leave out the dying part.
But the death rate is still 100% last time I checked, right?
Yeah.
But to that point, as I was driving in today, I'm feeling that sorry for myself for this and that, one of those moments, right? And I got detoured because Cedar Lake Road was blocked, and I'm bad again.
Oh, you know? God. Here
and I'm
we
in
go.
A neighborhood and trying to figure out how to get back to where
it's like a scavenger hunt.
It is. But,
trying to find your way to work.
These two ladies. One's a blonde lady, pretty lady, probably about 30. And the person with her looks like she's 85 or so, and she's got a walker. And I can see they're walking to the end of the driveway and back, to the end of the driveway and back, because she's obviously trying to learn how to use a walker and walk. And I go, okay, what are you complaining about again?
Yeah.
You know, she's trying to figure out how to walk to the end of the driveway and back, and she needs somebody there to help her and support her so she could do that. And I go, okay.
Every now and then, God gives us a gentle slap across the face.
Yes, he does.
You know, complaining about the wind chill and all.
Oh, it's so cold. It's really cold outside.
So at least, you know, we don't have walls of flames racing past our window at 80 miles an hour.
I've never been close to wildfires.
Never.
Like
no.
That,
and I on radio.com, I was actually listening to a traffic reporter in L.A.
Yeah.
Trying to route people around these flaming disasters. I mean, and you could hear it in his voice, but I thought, oh my God, you know, remind me not to complain about frozen water, about a little
snow
or a little bit of ice. Our homes are still standing. Yeah, it's a hassle and the commute is slower, but I can't begin to imagine what it's like tracking these walls of flames. And they have them on the weather maps, like little fronts. They show you where the flames are and the direction that they're moving and which towns, which neighborhoods are in the path. Again, can't begin to comprehend what that must be like.
So as a weather expert, would you...
There are no weather experts, but thank you.
Disasters that we can have, natural or this one could be natural, it could be started, it doesn't matter. Fires, tornadoes, floods, hurricanes. Which one is the worst and which one is the most difficult to predict and to move along with?
I would say earthquakes would be at the top of the
list. Earthquakes, because they just come from nowhere. And
there's no prediction. I mean, once they strike, you maybe, best case, you get a couple of seconds to duck under the door, or go into the bathtub or run outside, whatever. But a close second, I would say, these wildfires that are gripping California.
Now, I would think that technology, helicopters, you should be safe all the time. You should never get caught in a wildfire. Is there something I don't know in terms of how fast they can move?
The problem is these winds, these Santa Ana winds, these devil winds that gust up to 60, 80, 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
They shift. So the fire may be heading in one direction, and then suddenly, blink of an eye, snap of a finger, the winds change direction, and now it's moving in a totally different direction. In other words, people thought they were safe. And now they're no longer safe. The fire is coming at them. I saw some harrowing video yesterday. People routed off the freeway over the median strip. People were damaging their cars. But again, they're trying to save their lives. Just to get away. They were routing people away from...
Whoa.
It's the fickleness, I think, of these flames.
Now, a tornado at night, too, right? Because
that's bad.
That you might not see.
That's bad.
And even during the day, you don't know exactly where it's going to come down. Now, that is a very small swath, always, that it takes.
Right.
But.
And usually, I mean, the average now is 10, 12 minutes of warning. And the Weather Service does a real good job with these tornado warnings. They hit far more than they miss. And so... Yeah, you know, hurricane, you get a couple of days' notice.
Yep.
A tornado, at least 10 to 12 minutes. A flood, usually a couple of days' notice. But these wildfires, man, once they start, they just blow up. It's like a bomb.
And you know when it's Halloween, we got to talk about it. 1991, the Halloween blizzard.
Must we?
I love talking about it. Now maybe, what I remember was at the time I was a producer at Channel 4 and doing work at Midwest Sports Channel, and we had a high school show planned. It was on a Friday, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And and our high school football show was supposed to be that night. And I just remember I said, go get video of a stadium, empty stadium. And I remember that shot so vividly. There's nobody there.
Nobody
that was supposed
there.
To be there. And the game had been called off. And the snow, you know, on all the seats. And you know, they just had... They were routing teams to Iowa and Fargo Dome and everywhere they could to try to get the games in eventually. But that two-day sequence, which started on Halloween and moved to the next day, really was where we got the most accumulation.
Yeah, right? It was November the following day. We got 8 inches on Halloween.
Yeah. But I thought it was so fun. Maybe because I was single and I had four-wheel drive, and I thought, I'm not worried. You know, maybe it was that. But what was it like where you stood? I don't even remember. Did you guys see it materializing early in the week like it was going to be like that?
With each passing day leading up to Halloween, it looked more and more impressive. But it looked 4 to 8 to 10 inch impressive. It didn't look. Nobody in their right mind would have gone on the air the day before Halloween and predicted 28.4 inches.
You're in the
not
Twin even Cities. Close to that.
No,
point.
I mean, they would have come, they would have carted you off to the wayward home for wacky weathermen.
Yeah.
There's no way. And meteorologists do a bad job predicting record events. All the computer models predicted that this storm would keep moving. And you know what, Mike? It didn't. It stalled. It got stuck. And again, it's easy to blame the computer models. At the end of the day, we should have caught it. We didn't. And so it was extremely humbling. I thought going out on a limb the night before, I said 4 to 8. And I want to remind people, we did get that 4 to 8 inches.
Now, were you on the air for a lot of that time, or was that one of those where there really wasn't much you could add to it, so it wasn't like you had to cut in?
We did some special cut-ins. I was at CARE 11 at the time. And I'll never forget, I was driving a Saab, and I could not get out of my driveway. There was some of the drifts were like 4 or 5 feet. So
Majors come over to dig you out?
You know, that would make for a better story.
Yeah.
No, the chief engineer, Skip Aldridge, thank you, Skip. He came out in one of those big Suburbans and rescued me and got me into the station. I thought, oh, boy, all right. I think that's when I bought the pickup truck.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to get caught in this one again.
Yeah, you learn from your mistakes. But that was a humbling storm. And
it was.
I don't think we'll ever see anything quite like that in our lifetime. A reminder that the forecasts are good much of the time, but they're never going to be perfect. Look, you're here until 4:30. I want to talk about Carl Anthony Towns. I want to talk about the wrestling match.
I just listened to Embiid give his side of it, so I'll give you what he said.
Very curious. So we'll do that. We'll have the time at 4:10 and again at 4:20. Maybe a quick update on the Vikes, on the Wild. I know a lot of other stuff going on. Mike Max hanging in until 4:30. Okay, so if you don't stay up late at night and watch the late night shows, what we're trying to do on a regular basis is borrow, steal some of the audio, what we think is some of the funniest stuff. And if you missed it, this was Stephen Colbert last night, The Late Show. Check out the cold open.
When we considered redesigning the AirPods, we had one revolutionary idea in mind. How can we take something small and easy to lose and make it more expensive?
AirPods Pro are equipped with the latest tech, including noise cancellation and immersive sound. But that's not important. What is important is that you will lose them.
We designed the AirPods Pro so they could be lost in the couch or one of your coat pockets or someplace you don't even know. Because if you knew where they were, you would find them.
AirPods Pro. Pick some up today. Where are they? I must have dropped them.
Why did we shoot this in a white room? Everyone look on the floor. Watch where you're stepping. Yeah. Bloody hell.
AirPods Pro. They're small, they're white, and they're expensive.
And son of a... Where are they?
Do you have AirPods? Do you have AirPods?
I don't. But
they look
time,
like cigarette butts sticking out of your...
The first time that one of my children lost one,
yeah,
I thought, well, big deal. They said, well, it's an AirPod. And I thought, yeah, it's, you know, you put this thing in your ear. I didn't differentiate between that and your plug, right?
Right, right.
No, I got to find it. Well, why do you got to find it? You know, no big deal. Then they told me what it cost.
Yeah.
I said, we got to find that thing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
SOS.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know they were that expensive. I don't wear them, but my kids do, and you go, they just did the right skit, man.
Yep. And look, I think the new ones are $250, and they're noise canceling, and I just wish they could cancel specific noise. Just say, I don't want to hear from this person.
Yeah.
if you can make it so that I don't hear this person or this person, I'm in.
Yep.
Good investment. All right, we have another clip. This one from Seth Meyers, last night's monologue.
A man in Nebraska recently attempted to open a bank account with a fake $1 million bill. Said the man, well, at least I got that get-out-of-jail-free card. And finally, a woman in California was rescued this week after she got lost in a national park and used rocks to spell out SOS, but only because she didn't have enough rocks to write camping sucks.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, we have some time. I want to ask you this. This caught my eye. Walmart is all in when it comes to robots.
Yeah.
Do you see this?
Yeah.
Self-driving robots that scrub floors. They do. They check inventory at 350 stores. Bots at 1,700 stores that automatically scan boxes as they come off delivery trucks. The company, Walmart, says smart assistants will reduce the amount of time workers spend on repeatable, predictable, manual tasks, freeing them up to do other more productive things.
Yeah, you three that are left in the warehouse. And
like looking for work.
Yeah, like looking for work.
Don't buy, guys.
Well, but you know, Paul, along those lines, at Target downtown just yesterday, and I always say if I can figure it out, it can't be that hard. You can now, you know, I mean, this isn't new, but the number of people that use the self-checkout
right
amazes me. And
yeah.
Every time I go, it's more, it feels
yeah.
like, you know, and I don't know how, because if you have bananas, you got to weigh them and stuff, and I just get intimidated by that, and then I'd rather wait in line and make sure somebody does it right. But my gosh, and of course, back in the day, before David, in my infancy stages, and I'm sure you're going to remember, you never pulled into a gas station where somebody didn't come out and fill it up for you.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody knows that.
It's a self-serve world, and we were out in Seattle where they have the Amazon Go stores that take it to another level. You just take what you want, and you leave the store.
And it's on a card somewhere,
they're tracking
right?
you on cameras. They see exactly what you picked up.
And you go, bing,
it's
bing,
bizarre.
Bing, whatever you pick up.
You're afraid that the alarms are going to go off when you go outside the door, but no, they are able.
Believe me, they'll find you and they'll extract the money from your account, right?
And then within an hour, I was skeptical, within an hour they send a receipt, and sure enough, they nailed every single thing.
So as long as it's coded correct, there is no.
Right.
You ever had anybody steal identity theft or steal anything from you?
Thank God, not identity theft. Regular theft, yeah.
One day I was, this was, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, because I have business too and checking accounts and blah, blah, blah. And I don't check them every day or every month. I just check to make sure everything looks like it's in line. And I remember looking at it and going, this isn't in line.
Right.
Something's missing. So you start going through it and you go, oh, what do we got here? Anyway. Somebody had broke into my car probably, I don't know, maybe I left it open, I don't know, but they found my business account. $15,000 worth of checks they had written out.
Holy Moses.
Yeah, in about 3 days. And so I went and called it in. It was a fascinating process for me because I had to meet with the police at the police station, et cetera. And these people were dumb enough that they were writing checks to people that were real people.
Real people.
And they tracked them down. One guy they wrote was in prison at the time, but somebody else endorsed it. And they even put a little thing like what the work was for. Like that was
helpful.
Boy, well, I guess it is legit. You know, they need their house painted. So I went through all this with the police officers at the time to find out, and it was fascinating how they track these people in general. And getting back to when people check out and there's a lot of shoplifting and stealing chips. He says, but some of these big stores, he says, if you're sitting there and you're checking somebody out and you think they're stealing from you. Are you going to chase that person down the parking lot? You're getting $12 an hour.
Right, right.
But the other part was the cameras that they have on and the sophistication of. So if somebody walks into that mall with a big jacket, they go red flag, follow them, see if they walks out with a baggy jacket that's now puffed up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And how they the technology that they can use and what triggers that was fascinating.
What I found interesting, Target CEO Brian Cornell said that Target will not bring on the type of robots that Walmart has deployed. His quote, you won't see robots in Target stores anytime soon. We think even in today's environment where people are talking about AI and robotics and different elements of tech, the human touch still really matters.
And he's done a good job of keeping, you know, bringing back the, in a world where everybody thought everything was going online, he's brought them back to the bricks and mortar, got people come back through the store. I thought it was going to be a line like, Target will not do that. We will use more expensive model than Walmart does.
Exactly. And it's the symbiosis, right? It's the interplay between the online and the bricks and mortar. As the computers get smarter, do you worry that a robot is going to be doing your job in 10, 20, 50 years?
I mean, really, why couldn't they, right? By the time you program them, if all you want is the sports, you can probably do that right now, you know?
But if you want perspective, analysis, context, right now, I don't think the computers can do that. But with AI, as the computers get smarter.
If they say this robot's better on the air than you are, so we want you to write it and give it the context, and he or she, whatever it is, I don't know if robots go by he or she. I think they're gender neutral, aren't they?
Today they are.
Yeah, now
they may
are.
Change.
Because with bathrooms and everything, it's a lot easier for everybody.
I'm confused.
Why not, right? And at some point, I bet you at some point in time somebody demos that, and they try, you know, here's the news with.
Remember Max Headroom?
Yeah.
Doing the news. I just wonder.
Ron Burgundy couldn't stand up to him.
At some point, will Siri get smart enough, you know, personalized weather, you know, for your exact location, your calendar, it knows what time you wake up. And it anticipates your weather needs, and everybody gets something different via Siri or Alexa. You know, hopefully it'll be when I'm long gone, but I can see that day coming.
I had a long talk with Bram Crowley, who runs the Lifetime Fitness. He's the one that founded it and runs it, and he's always six steps ahead of everybody else. His new thing is building towns, right? A condo next to a health club with a
–
so he's always looking at it.
Lifestyle.
He told me that it's going to be – everything's going to be done with your eyes. And so, therefore, you'll walk in, you'll check in with your eyes, you'll buy stuff with your eyes, and your eyes will be your credit card.
Really?
Yep.
That's wild. More with Michael Max coming up right after the break.
And Jordana.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.